This is Yes Presents Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm Sonali Kolhatkar, Senior Editor at Yes Media. You can find this program at yesmagazine.org, watch it on Free Speech TV, and listen to it on community and independent radio stations nationwide. A new class of weight loss drugs has taken the United States by storm, set apart from previous medications in that it actually seems to work. The drugs, known by their pharmaceutical brand names such as Ozempic and Wegovy, contain semaglutide, a chemical that helps to regulate appetite but also blood sugar, which is a critical function for people suffering from type 2 diabetes. But with many people taking the medication for cosmetic purposes, the drugs are in demand, highly expensive, required to be taken indefinitely, and so far not covered by health insurers for weight loss. Meanwhile, investors are rushing to make a killing off of the pharma stocks. But are the drugs safe? How do they impact the size-based discrimination that people face? And what impact do the drugs have on movements for fat liberation? My guest is Yvette Dion, executive editor at Yes Media. She's an award-winning journalist, pop culture critic, and magazine editor who covers culture and politics through the lenses of race, gender, class, and size. She's an acclaimed author of two books, including Weightless, Making Space for My Resilient Body and Soul. Welcome to the program, Yvette.
Thank you so much for having me, Sonali.
So first, let's talk about how you reacted when these weight loss drugs first burst into the scene. They seem to give this sense or reaffirm this notion that fatness is a disorder that we have to treat with drugs that needs to be fixed or managed. And as someone like you who's written about the cultural expectations on size and weight, when these first burst into the scene, what were the thoughts that went through your head?
Honestly, Sonali, I was appalled. That was the very first thought that went through my mind. That once again, we are in a place where doctors think that a pill or an injection is a magical cure for fatness without really recognizing that bodies have always and will always come in different shapes and sizes and weights. And that is just a natural function of the human body. After that, I was very concerned because a lot of times, when these medications are being put on the market, particularly for weight loss, and Ozempic in particular is used to treat diabetes. So for it to be used as a weight loss tool, it's not effectively researched in a way that ensures that people who are taking it are safe in the short term or the long term. So I went from being appalled to really being concerned about what this means for particularly a new generation of children who are being offered these medications.
So children are being offered these medications as well?
Yes. So there was a change in the way the American Academy of Pediatrics thought about what they call obesity in children. So before, they took a wait and see approach, essentially, which is depending on how someone develops, they may or may not continue to be fat as they age. Instead, they decided to take an aggressive approach. And so now, if you are above a certain age, children are eligible for bariatric surgery and they are eligible to take weight loss pills.
How harmful is that psychologically? I mean, yes, we have heard so much about the physical problems that may arise or may be linked to weight gain, but it seems as though the psychological damage can be pretty severe, especially for kids.
It's incredibly severe. I think that it leads children in particular, and even adults, if they begin dieting as children, to believe that there's something so wrong with their bodies that they have to be on this eternal quest to fix it at all cost. And so that leads people to having dangerous surgeries, for instance, or taking medication that hasn't been thoroughly researched. And that really plays on the mind because it feels as if you're never good enough. And if you're a child who is already struggling, being told that that there's something wrong with your body and that you're not good enough has long-term effects. It's a gateway to disordered eating. And as we know, disordered eating and eating disorders in our society are a huge plague on young people.
I mean, some people might suggest, well, if these drugs have been approved by the government, because we have government agencies that vet their safety, then they've surely got to be safe, right? I mean, the government wouldn't allow these drugs on the market.
That is what we're led to believe often, but immediately when Ozempic in particular became more of a craze in the United States, I thought a lot about Fen-phen, which was also a weight loss drug in the late 80s, in the early 90s, that was approved by the FDA. And one of the consequences of taking that medication for a long period of time was sudden heart failure. So many people who were taking the medication literally dropped dead to the point that the FDA had to remove it from the market. So you think that you know what the consequences or the side effects are, but you never quite know all of them, especially when a drug is being used for a new treatment for the first time.
It felt as if we were just sort of barely getting as a society to the point where fat liberation and size acceptance was becoming mainstream. You know, we had Lizzo breaking barriers. We've had models, supermodels who are plus size models and fashion industries embracing plus size clothing. Do you worry that this so-called revolution in weight loss drugs will derail these movements?
Absolutely. I always think that movements are more successful when they are collective. And with Ozempic and other weight loss drugs, it really takes it out of this collective space of fat people fighting for dignity and all of these systems in the workplace, when they're carrying children, in the medical complex, et cetera, and really brought it back to this individual space of wellness is an individual choice, that there are not implications for how you approach weight loss or if you approach weight loss, and that's simply untrue. And so I think the arrival of these weight loss drugs and also doctors treating quote unquote obesity as a medical condition with various facets, both of those things combined, I think, take us a step back because it then puts fatness back into the realm of choice. And when we think about choice, that you choose to be fat, then of course the natural order of things is to then try your hardest to become smaller.
And it's so interesting because there's another approach that Oprah, for example, is putting out there saying she's done being ashamed. She is taking weight loss drugs. It came out last December that she was taking these, and she says she wants to destigmatize taking them, and that these drugs prove that it was never about willpower and people, you know, just sort of choosing to be a certain size. Because when you go to the doctor, the doctors just say, well, just diet and exercise. So she's sort of taking this other view. What does it mean for someone of Oprah's stature and her reputation to normalize these drugs, to embrace them?
Well, she is certainly destigmatizing it. I think Oprah is a complicated figure in that way because we have watched her for multiple decades at this point have an up and down weight loss journey. And so now that she is presenting Ozempic as almost like a miracle drug of look what it has done for me, I think it shows other people that it is safe, even when it may not be. And so when someone of that stature, I'm always a person who says people individually can make choices about what they do with their bodies. That is what bodily autonomy is all about. And also that does not mean you're not being complicit in systems such as fat phobia that tell fat people that their bodies are something that needs to be fixed. And I think Oprah in particular falls really in the middle of that, where she could have continued to take Ozempic quietly. She never had to acknowledge it, but by doing so and with the platform that she has, it is destigmatizing it, but I don't know if it's quite doing that in the way that she expects.
Right, because on the one hand, she is helping to undermine this notion that it's all just about willpower, right? We have such a stigma against fat people in our society and have had it for so many decades that oh, if you're a certain size, it just means you're lazier, can't control yourself. So she's sort of suggesting that these weight loss drugs show that no, it was never about that. But then if you choose not to take them, doesn't it, on the other hand, stigmatize people for choosing not to take them or for having it out of their reach or simply saying no, they've come to accept themselves as they are and you know, don't want to do that to themselves.
Exactly. It becomes a really clear catch 22 where what Oprah is saying and other people who are really peddling the gospel of weight loss drugs is see, it was never about willpower. And the way that I know that is because I'm small now. And so it just becomes a self-perpetuating cycle where still the goal is to become smaller than you are. And you can crouch that in wanting to lose weight for health. You can crouch that in wanting to lose weight so you can go into a store and purchase nice clothing. However you frame that, the goal still remains the same. The goalpost is still the same, and that is becoming smaller.
Do you worry that people are going to face pressure from their loved ones even to take these drugs? I mean, some of it, like I even sort of think about the analogy with the LGBTQ rights movement and, you know, even from well-meaning parents who might have felt that they love their child and want to accept them, but felt that, well, maybe these so-called conversion therapies, which we now know to be extremely harmful and obviously don't work. But, you know, we know of stories where loving parents pressured their children into these so-called therapies. And I wonder if young children or people in general might face pressure from those who love them even to take these drugs.
Absolutely. I would say, Sonali, that is my biggest concern. I believe that children are one of the most underprotected demographics in our society. And so they're trusting people in positions of authority to help guide them toward what is best for them. And so if all of the pressure you're getting, particularly from systems, when you go to the doctor, when you're at school, and then you're also getting that pressure from your family, it feels like losing weight is the right thing to do, or taking this medication or having bariatric surgery is the right thing to do, even though children may not have the full scope of what that means for them long term. And so that's incredibly concerning for children who don't have power in that situation to ask for something different or may not know that there are other options available to them.
There are side effects to this drug, these drugs. We've been, you know, seeing that there are a lot of people will have short-term sort of gastrointestinal issues, but then there's also some long-term rare side effects such as liver damage and heart palpitations. And some people who have these stomach paralysis problems that sound absolutely awful. And are you worried that people will, you know, sweep these aside, push them under the rug? Because it just feels like just this wonderful thing that's just waiting for people to embrace them. And that 10 years, 20 years down the line, we may see, just like Fen-Phen, these, you know, awful, debilitating, potentially debilitating health conditions that come about as a result of these drugs.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It is definitely concerning. It's also a question of what lengths are people willing to go to be thin, and what lengths are our medical professionals willing to push us in terms of being thin. And so I think it's going to be a long time before we see the effects of these weight loss drugs. I also think that it's very telling that often when you stop taking the weight loss drug, all of the weight that you have lost in doing and taking the drug miraculously returns. So the body chemistry doesn't change. The medication is not changing body chemistry. It's just a short-term fix, but it's being treated as a long-term solution, and that's concerning.
So let's talk about that, because once you get on it, I mean, it's, I guess, like, you know, the ideal drug for a drug pusher, something that you get people hooked on that they can't get off of. Those with wealth, especially, are rushing to invest in these drugs because it is just this potential financial bonanza for the pharmaceutical companies producing them. And because they're in such high demand, there's a huge shortage. Those without wealth can't afford them because right now insurance isn't covering them. So people wealthy like Oprah or others can't afford to take them. Are you worried about the sort of financially exploitative aspects of these drugs? I mean, there's investors are salivating.
They are. And it is very concerning, particularly for weight loss drugs that have been historically used for people who are diabetic, and the shortage to the point that people who have diabetes are unable to access the medication that they need for an actual medical condition is incredibly concerning. I think it's also a continuation of the dieting industry, which is a $1 billion industry. And the entire purpose of that industry is to tell us collectively and individually, there is something wrong with your body as it is. There's something wrong with your face. There's something wrong with your legs. There's something wrong. And we have something that can fix it if you're willing to pay X amount of cost. And so we're just seeing this applied to weight loss, but it's applied across the industry at large.
So finally, Yvette, do you hope that there's going to be an important interrogation of these drugs from a sociological perspective as well? Because as we talked about these movements being derailed, I imagine that fat liberation spaces and even disability justice movements might be realigning, trying to figure out how to respond. Do you think that society is going to be able to properly interrogate these drugs and the fact that they may just be part of the problem and not a solution?
I am hopeful. I'm an eternal optimist. I am hopeful that collectively we're able to push back and interrogate the push for these weight loss drugs. On the other hand, I also know that we live in a society where money really does talk, and the amount that's being invested in these weight loss drugs, the fact that insurance companies are not covering them because they acquire more if you're paying for it out of pocket, it leaves me a little less hopeful. But I do think in these spaces, in disability justice spaces, in fat acceptance spaces, I think that there is a push to organize to ensure that fat people outside of this have access to basic human rights, including not being discriminated against regardless of the size of their bodies. And I think that work now has a new urgency because of the arrival of these drugs.
Do you think that ultimately we have to keep reminding ourselves that it is an individual choice? I mean, Oprah is a public figure. We can talk about her, but there may be people who, even if they don't have an issue with diabetes, but who just feel that they just can't find a way to accept themselves as they are, just have tried being part of the fat liberation movement and just want to take this dimension out of their lives. They want to take that drug, and we have to try not to judge them for it.
Absolutely. I think I'm always talking about systems and not people. Yeah. And so individually, people have to make the best possible decision for themselves and for their health, and with the guidance of their family and their medical professionals, make that best decision. What I ask is that people do all of the research and that they interrogate why this is being pushed to them. What are the long-term side effects? That they ask those questions of themselves. And then if you feel comfortable, make the decision. But I highly recommend never going into taking any medication, but especially a newer medication on the market, without doing all of that proper research.
Yvette, thank you as always for joining us.
My pleasure. Thank you, Sonali.
My guest has been Yvette Dion, executive editor at Yes Media and an award-winning journalist, pop culture critic, and magazine editor who covers culture and politics through the lenses of race, gender, class, and size. She's also an acclaimed author of two books, Weightless, Making Space for My Resilient Body and Soul, and Lifting as We Climb. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar, senior editor at Yes Media and host of Yes Presents Rising Up with Sonali. You can find this program at yesmagazine.org, watch it on Free Speech TV, and listen to it on community and independent radio stations nationwide. Our audio podcast is on iTunes and Spotify.